This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidina Muhammadin. We were still doing the converts from the Banu Abdul Muttalib, the converts from the uncles and aunts and the direct first cousins of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And just a quick recap that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had, again, there's an ikhtilaf in this case, but he had 16 uncles and aunts, so including his father, there were 17 children. Including his father, there were 17 children, 11 boys and 6 girls from 6 wives. Abdul Muttalib had 17 children. We went over all of the boys except for 2 in our last class. And very quickly, there were Al-Hadith and Qutham and Dirar and Mus'ab and Al-Mughira and Al-Zubayr and Abd Manaf and Abdullah, the father of our Prophet ﷺ. Hamza, we did the story of Hamza in detail. We've skipped over Al-Abbas. We will do Al-Abbas later on, inshallah ta'ala. We also mentioned Al-Muqawwam, who had a son, daughter Arwa. The last son that was asked about, and I said I would look into it in more detail. So we'll start with that son that we did not do is, of course, Abu Jahl, the final son that we skipped over. As for Abbas, we will do him in a later halaqah because Abbas, out of all of the uncles, he has the most details. And we have to do an entire halaqa just on Abbas. And then the children of Al-Abbas as well, they have separate halaqas. So we have Abdullah ibn Abbas, and we have Qutham and so many others of the children. In fact, Abbas had 10 sons. All of them are Sahaba. So the Prophet ﷺ had 10 cousins from Abbas. These are the male sons. And he also had daughters as well. So Abbas and his whole family deserve a separate lecture, and we'll do that inshallah afterwards. So the final son we'll do today, and then we'll start with the aunts of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is Abu, the final son of Abdul Muttalib, is of course Abu Jahl. And Abu Jahl, very quickly, we all know Abu Jahl. He is the one that is mentioned in Tabbat yada Abi Lahabin. Abu Lahab. Tabbat yada Abi Lahabin. وتب ما أغنى عنه ماله وما كسب سيصلى نارا ذات لهب وامرأته حمالة الحطب. Who is وامرأة? Who is his wife? Who is his wife? Guys, you should know the name of his wife. The name of his wife, وَمْرَأَتُهُ حَمَّلَتَ الْحَطَبِ أُمِّ جَمِيل. أُمِّ جَمِيل is his wife. أُمِّ جَمِيل is the full sister of Abu Sufyan. So Abu Sufyan's sister is أُمِّ جَمِيل. وَمْرَأَتُهُ حَمَّلَتَ الْحَطَبِ فِي جِدِيَا حَبْلٌ مِّن مَسَدْ. Okay, so somebody asked me about the sons and daughters of Abu Jahl last time. And I said, inshallah, I will look into it this week. But I did mention last week one reality which I confirmed as well this week. And that is that the descendants of Abu Lahab who converted to Islam, they did not preserve their lineage. Meaning we do not know who his descendants are these days. Meaning it is a nasab that is not glorious. So people don't preserve those types of nasab. So within a few generations, basically the people did not identify as being the children of Abu Lahab, for reasons we clearly understand. And I gave the example last week of people that were involved in the Nazi party in the 30s, their grandchildren, great-grandchildren in our times, they do not publicize their lineage. In fact, Hitler has a grandnephew living in New Jersey, and he doesn't have any last name that is indicative of that. And as I said, the reporter tracked him down initially. He said, no story. Then he said, I'll tell you my story with the condition of anonymity. And so his name is still not known to the people. And so many others as well, Heimler and all of them that were part of the Nazi party, their descendants are not known, meaning they keep a low profile. Now, if this is the case in the grandchildren, what do you think the great-great-grandchildren, they will not even know at all. They themselves will not know. At least in this case, he knows my great-uncle was Hitler. He knows this because it's only 2 generations back. Can you imagine 3, 4, 5, 6, it'll be gone completely. So similarly, in our, even worse in our tradition, can you imagine, astaghfirullah, may Allah has protected us, if your great-great-grandfather was Abu Lahab, how would you preserve that? Huh? So it would just be disappeared. And that's what happened. So we don't know beyond the first or second generation, because after that it kind of sort of fizzled away. Obviously, we know the first generation of Abu Lahab's descendants. Abu Lahab, his name is Abdul Uzza. Abu Lahab, his name is Abdul Uzza. And Abu Lahab married the sister of Abu Sufyan, and that is Umm Jamil. Okay, Umm Jamil, and her name is Arwa. So Abu Lahab and Abu Sufyan are brother-in-laws. Now, Abu Jahl had four children. Always people get messed up. Even I get messed up sometimes. It's a slip of the tongue. Not Abu Jahl, Abu Lahab. Abu Lahab had four children. Three sons and one daughter. Three of them converted to Islam and one died a pagan. So from Abu Lahab's children, the Prophet ﷺ had three cousins that were Muslims and one that remained a non-Muslim. Now, does anybody remember the story of early Islam? What is one of the stories that deals with the daughters of the Prophet ﷺ and Abu Lahab? Who can remind me? The daughters and... Very good, exactly. The daughters of the Prophet ﷺ were married to Abu Lahab's sons, right? This was in pre-Islam. And Abu Lahab, his two oldest sons were Utbah and Utaybah, okay? Utbah was the elder of the two, and he was married to Ruqayyah. And Utaybah was younger than him, and he was married to Umm Kulthum. Okay? And when Islam began, the marriage remained. Slowly but surely, the animosity increases, and then Allah reveals, Tabbat yada Abi Lahabin wa tab. And when this surah came down, this was when Abu Lahab and Umm Jamil, they literally went crazy. As we know, she tried to kill the Prophet ﷺ. She went out with some type of dagger or something. She tried to find the Prophet ﷺ. And she said to Abu Bakr, where is your companion? And Abu Bakr and the Prophet ﷺ were sitting together. And Abu Bakr said, I see what you see. I'm seeing what you see. And Allah had protected the Prophet ﷺ from Umm Jamil. So this is something well known. So that after the surah came down, this was when Abu Lahab said, you will divorce your wives. So the two sons obeyed their parents, and Utbah and Utaybah divorced Ruqayyah and Umm Kulthum. Okay? Ruqayyah and Umm Kulthum. And as for Utaybah, the younger brother, he was especially vile and vulgar. And Ibn Hajar and others, they narrate some of the vulgar things that Utaybah said to the Prophet ﷺ. And he was very crude when he returned Umm Kulthum. And then at the end of his tirade, he spat in the face of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay? So our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made dua against him at that point in time. After this sheer, it is enough that you return the daughter and then you cursed, and the curses are mentioned, some of them, and all of this vulgarity, and then you spit. This is beyond anything that is forgiven. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, may one of the beasts of Allah devour you. This was the dua he made against Utaybah, the younger brother, Utaybah. As for Utbah, he didn't do any of that. Utaybah, he made a dua against him. And it is mentioned that once Utaybah was in a caravan going to the Roman Empire in what is now Jordan, in one of the valleys of Jordan, and they saw a lion in the distance, and it was not common to see lions in what is Jordan. You don't see lions in that region. So the caravan became worried, and especially Utaybah. And Utaybah said, he remembered, this is in the years of Medina, he remembered the dua of the Prophet ﷺ, and he said, the duas of Muhammad always come true. I'm worried that animal is for me. So his companion said, don't worry, we will protect you. It's one lion, we have a whole caravan. And that night they went to sleep, and the lion came into the camp and devoured and basically crushed Utaybah to death. And so this is the end of Utaybah. This is the one who did not accept Islam, Utaybah. The other three eventually all accepted Islam. As for the eldest Utbah, and then the younger brother after Utaybah, it's Mu'tab. So all of them from Atabah. You have Utbah, Utaybah, and Mu'tab. Okay, Utba, Utaybah, Mu'tab. Utaybah the second did not accept Islam. Utba and Mu'tab, they accepted Islam. When did they accept Islam? At the conquest of Makkah. So the very last batch. The very last batch they accepted Islam. We don't know anything about them except that Ibn Sa'd narrates that when the Prophet ﷺ entered Makkah and he conquered Makkah, he asked Abbas, "O Abbas, where are your nephews, Utba and Mu'tab?" Of course, Utaybah is dead by now. Okay, where are your nephews, Utba and Mu'tab? I wish to see them. This is cousins. I wish to see them. So Abbas said, they hid from you, Ya Rasulullah. They're embarrassed. They hid from you. They are with the crowd. They are not. So the Prophet said, bring them to me. So Abbas went and he found them. And he brought Utba and Mu'tab to the Prophet ﷺ. And they embraced Islam in front of him. And he said, I made dua that Allah gift you to me, meaning through Islam. I made a dua that Allah gift you to me, to Islam. And there is no mention of them after this at all in the books of history. It is said that they participated in Hunayn. But after that, we don't know anything about them. They had children, but as I said, it's simply just missing from the books of history. They didn't seem to have any major role. Or if their children and grandchildren had a role, they didn't mention themselves as the nasab, understandably so. We don't know much about them. The very interesting story that I discovered today was that of the daughter of Abu Lahab. And I did not know the story until today myself. The daughter of Abu Lahab. We only have two or three bits of information, but what we have clearly indicates that, subhanAllah, we wish we had much more. But as we know, this is the reality of the seerah. We just have tidbits here and there. The daughter of Abu Hurairah, her name is, of Abu Lahab, her name is Durra. Durra binti Abi Lahab. Durra binti Abi Lahab. Durra, a first cousin of the Prophet ﷺ, she embraced Islam and she migrated to Medina. So she is a muhajira. And this indicates that her Islam came early on. And we know now that I just found one or two references to this. In fact, Ibn Ishaq does not even mention Durra at all. Ibn Ishaq in his entire seerah does not have Durra binti Abi Lahab, but I found this in the books of the Sahaba, the Tarajim of the Sahaba. You know, there are books that are the source books of the biographies of the Sahaba, and you have just paragraphs or so. So I found some tidbits about Durra. So her husband did not embrace Islam. She embraced Islam. And so she migrated to Medina, and her husband died fighting against the Muslims in the Battle of Badr. So, subhanAllah, this sahabiyya, she went against her mother and her father and her husband. And she left everything to migrate to Medina. And there, Ibn Hajjam narrates that another issue happened. And that is that the some of the women of the Ansar, they began saying bad things about her. That you are the daughter of Abu Lahab. You are the one whom Allah criticize in the Quran. So what use is your Islam? Why are you coming to Medina? Why have you done hijrah? Your father is Abu Lahab. And what is the fa'ida of your Islam? So she came complaining to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Prophet ﷺ publicly defended her. And after that, nobody criticized her. And eventually, Durra married the famous Sahabi, Dihya al-Kalbi. Dihya al-Kalbi was the Sahabi whom Jibreel would take the form of. Jibreel would take the form of Dihya al-Kalbi, and that's because Dihya was a very handsome man. He was the most handsome person in Mecca and in Medina, and that's why when Jibreel would come in the form of a human, he would come in the form of a human they recognized, so that nobody would think he's a stranger or something. And so Durra married Dihya al-Kalbi. So once again, Abu Lahab has four children, Utba, Utayba, Mu'tab, and Durra. Utba and Mu'tab embrace Islam. Utayba dies at the hands of the lion. And Durra embraces Islam before her two brothers. I do not find any date of her death at all. We don't know even when she died. Okay. So these are all of the uncles of the process. And we finished all of the uncles. All of it is done. We now move on to some of the aunts we did last time. And if I'm not mistaken, we did Atika last time. We did Atika. Do you remind me, did we do Safiya? I forgot even who was here. We did not do Safiya. Okay, so we did Atika last time. So we have now five aunts left. Five aunts left. We don't have time for all of them today, but inshallah, what we can do. So actually, we did Arwa. I'm positive we did Arwa. Her son was Tulayb. We did Arwa. Tulayb ibn Tulayb. Did we not do it? I'm pretty sure we did Arwa, where are the note takers? Because I forgot what I did last week. We did not do Arwa, the uncle or the aunt of the Prophet. So we only did Atika, that's it? We just did Atika? Okay. So then let's do Arwa then. Okay. Okay, we did not, I'm pretty sure we did the Urwa, but if we didn't, if you say we didn't, then we would do. Okay, so let us begin then. So, the Prophet ﷺ had how many aunts, remind me? How many aunts? We just said six. Six aunts. He had six aunts. So, we do not know the tartib. We do not know the orders of the aunts. We don't know the chronology of who was born when. So, we did Atika last time, and we don't know of her conversion. And we only said one of them for sure converted, and that is Safiya. Safiya converted. And as well, we don't know Atika. And Arwa converted. Okay? So Arwa and Safiya converted. We don't know Atika. Question mark. And the other three died before Islam. So they did not convert because there is no Islam. Atika is the only one. She saw Islam, and then we don't know. Did she convert? Did she not convert? And Allah knows best. It appears she did not convert, or else we would have heard about it. So she does not convert. So Arwa and Safiya are the only two who converted. What is Arwa's story? Arwa was married to a man by the name of Umair, and she had a son by the name of Tulayb ibn Umair. Tulayb ibn Umair. Tulayb ibn Umair is one of the Sahaba who converted in early Islam. So he's an early convert. So Tulayb, the Prophet's cousin, because his mother is the aunt, embraced Islam at Darul Arqam, in the reign of Darul Arqam. So in other words, he's not of the first batch, but he's early on, Darul Arqam era. And he came back and he informed his mother that he had embraced Islam. So he told his mother, I've embraced Islam. So Arwa said, your cousin is the best person you can support and follow. If only we could do like his men did and help him and defend him. In other words, his mother, Arwa, liked the conversion and said, if anybody should be followed, it is your cousin Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If anybody should be followed, it is your cousin Muhammad. And how I wish we could help him and defend him like his followers are doing against our own people. So Tulayb, the cousin of the Prophet, said, oh mother, if you say this, then why don't you embrace Islam? Why don't you embrace Islam? So Arwa said, I'm waiting to see what my brethren and sisters do. Because at this point in time, nobody had converted of that generation. None of the brothers and sisters had converted, right? Of her generation, none of them. So she said, I'm waiting to see what my brethren and sisters do. Then Tulayb persisted and said, don't you know that Hamza has embraced Islam? So Hamza had just converted then at this stage. Don't you know that Hamza has embraced Islam? And he kept on. You know how a son is persistent until finally Arwa embraced Islam, but she hid it from her brothers and sisters. And she told her son, don't tell anybody. So Arwa converts to Islam, the aunt of the Prophet ﷺ, and she keeps it secret. Then one day Abu Jahl said some vulgarities about the Prophet ﷺ. Abu Jahl. This is Abu Jahl. Good for making sure, but it's Abu Jahl. And Tulayb defended the Prophet ﷺ and ended up hitting Abu Jahl physically. Hitting Abu Jahl. So the tribe of Banu Makhzum took Tulayb and tied him up. Because this is now Banu Hashim and Banu Makhzum getting involved. Tulayb, the cousin of the Prophet ﷺ, punched Abu Jahl or hit Abu Jahl. So now he's taken as a prisoner. I mean, not as a prisoner, but basically that the Banu Hashim has to confess or pay up or give us a ransom or apologize on behalf of Tulayb. So Abu Jahl was punched. Tulayb, the cousin, is taken in. And now Abu Lahab, the uncle. Okay, don't get confused. Abu Lahab, representing the Banu Hashim, goes and negotiates what must be done, what much apologies and what not, and maybe there was money involved. And so Abu Lahab, the uncle, frees his nephew, Tulayb. So far so clear? Okay? Makes the necessary apologies and whatever goats and sheep need to be given. And then he frees Tulayb. And then Abu Lahab, the uncle, goes to his sister Arwa and says, Can't you control your son? Don't you see what he's done? We had to go do this and that. So Arwa now says to her brother Abu Lahab, her brother Abu Lahab, whatever my son did was good. And he couldn't have done anything better. My nephew Muhammad deserves to be supported, and I have no problems with my son defending my nephew. So Abu Lahab says, have you converted to his religion as well? Meaning the only way you would say this, in other words, she is willing that her son be tortured to protect the Prophet ﷺ, right? What mother will do this except if you're a Muslim? Because otherwise, my son is more precious than anybody else's son. So she is saying, I want my son to be persecuted to defend the Prophet ﷺ. So he asks, are you now a follower of his religion? And she then had to confess, yes, I am. Yes, I am. I have converted to his faith. Abu Lahab said, how could you leave the religion of Abdul Muttalib? That was his main reason why he didn't leave. How could you leave the religion of Abdul Muttalib? And his sister Arwa said, I have made my decision. This is what I have decided to do. And you as well should convert. She is giving da'wah to one of the worst people. That is Abu Lahab. But she's a sister. So she has that right and rank that hardly anybody else has. You as well should convert and support him. And then she used a tactic of da'wah that is straight from Jahiliyyah. Straight from Jahiliyyah, but it's halal. Because she said, he is your nephew. If he is victorious, your support of him will raise all of us up as the qabila. And once he's victorious, then if you want to go back to the religion of your forefathers, go ahead. But at this stage, for you to become his enemy against the people from other tribes, this goes against our tribe, right? So she uses a tribal argument, which is halal in this case, that even if you convert just for tribal reasons, but he's your nephew and the other tribes are opposed to him, so you should convert to help him. And once we are victorious, khalas, then you make up your mind. Stay or leave. But at this stage, you are stabbing us in the back. That's not allowed as a Banu Hashim. Clear what she's saying, right? And Abu Lahab says, and do you think that we can take on all of the Arabs against us? I'm not going to convert. Do you think we will take on all of the Arabs? And so he refused to convert. So Tulayb was the first cousin of the Prophet ﷺ through Arwa. Tulayb migrated to Abyssinia and to Medina. He participated in Badr and in other battles, and he died a shaheed in the Battle of Ajnadain, fighting against the Romans right before the Battle of Yarmouk at the age of 35, and he died without leaving any children. So the nasab, or the children from Arwa, ceased to, there are no descendants from Arwa. One other interesting fact here. Tulayb's father, Umayr, had a son from a previous marriage. Now, this is not the Prophet's cousin, because Tulayb's father had a son from another marriage. So this is Tulayb's brother, but not the Prophet's cousin. Okay? Now, this son was captured as a prisoner in the Battle of Badr. And it was his father, Umayr, who then had to come to the Prophet ﷺ. So Umayr is the uncle of the Prophet ﷺ. Umayr is the uncle. He's coming to ransom his other son that is not the cousin. Are you guys clear? I know it's so confusing because we have so many names here. But just, you know, as we said, he has a younger brother from another mother. So this brother is not the cousin of the Prophet ﷺ. So Umayr comes to ransom his son at the Battle of Badr. Now, this story we have covered in detail in our seerah way before in the Battle of Badr, because it involves the attempted assassination of the Prophet ﷺ from this person, Umayr ibn Wahab. If you remember, Safwan and Umayr were sitting at the Kaaba, Safwan ibn Umayyah, and this person called him Umayr. Well, turns out Umayr is the uncle of the Prophet ﷺ by marriage. Umayr is married to Arwa. Okay? And so Umayr was complaining to Safwan and saying, oh Safwan, how I wish I could, yani astaghfirullah, he said this, you know, get rid of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Safwan said, why don't you? He said, who's going to take care of my children? He already has my son in ransom. You know, I already have debts and loan. What's going to happen to me? So Safwan, who was one of the richest people, said, you go ahead and do it, and I will take care of all your loans, and I promise to take care of your family and your debts after you. So Umayr immediately left. As we said, he immediately jumped on a camel, and single-handedly he rushed to Medina with a poison dagger, and he entered in upon the Prophet ﷺ under the guise of negotiating his son's ransom. And remember, the Prophet ﷺ brought him in close to him and said, Umayr, why do you have a dagger hanging from your neck? Why do you have this dagger? And Umayr said, what good did blood cause us? It's just hanging there from old times. I don't mean to do anything. And the Prophet ﷺ said, who are you lying to? Rather, 3 days ago, you were in the shadow of the Kaaba, and you said to Safwan, such and such, Safwan said this back to you, said this to, and he narrated the whole conversation. And Umayr said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu annaka rasulullah. There is no way anybody could have given you this news, because it was just the two of us, and I just rushed here from that conversation. Allah must have told you that news. Okay? And then he converted to Islam, and then he came back to Mecca, and Safwan was thinking that some good news would come, and on the contrary, he had embraced Islam. So this is the father, the uncle if you like, right? The father of Tulayb, the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay? So this is Arwa. We have covered the story of Arwa. Last week we did the story of Atika as well. So we did two of the six. Now we now move on to Safiya. Safiya, the aunt of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we did the story of Safiya in the seerah, bits and pieces of Safiya. Of course, Safiya is the full sister of Hamza. We did this last time. When talking about Hamza, Safiya is the full sister of Hamza, and Safiya was much older than the Prophet ﷺ. She was 23 years older than the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay, so she's one of the older aunts, and her closeness to the Prophet ﷺ is shown in the famous hadith in Sahih Bukhari, when the Prophet ﷺ began preaching Islam, and he called all of the Banu Hashim, and he gave the very first lecture publicly to them, and he mentioned, O Fatima binti Muhammad, embrace Islam, because I will not benefit you on the Day of Judgment. O Safiya binti Abdul Muttalib, embrace Islam. So out of all of his uncles and aunts, he mentioned Safiya by name. O Safiya binti Abdul Muttalib, embrace Islam, because I will not be able to benefit you on the Day of Judgment. So Safiya was a very close figure to our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She married Al-Awwam, and from them she had two sons, Zubayd ibn al-Awwam, and I have mentioned Zubayd in one of the Ashra Mubashara, and we talked about him in a lot of detail. This is Zubayd ibn al-Awwam, one of the 10 promised paradise, right? And we talked about him, the Hawari, the disciple of the Prophet. Every Nabi has a Hawari, and my Hawari is Zubayd ibn al-Awwam. And we mentioned Zubayd, so there's no need to mention anything more about him. Zubayd had a younger brother, As-Sa'ib ibn al-Awwam, As-Sa'ib ibn al-Awwam, and As-Sa'ib, he participated in a few battles, and he died a shaheed in the battle of Yamama. He died a shaheed in the battle of Yamama. And Safiya participated in the battle of Uhud by giving water to the poor. She, of course, did not fight, but she gave water to the poor. And her stance on seeing Hamza's body is well known. We talked about it. As well, the story of Khandaq as well. We mentioned when we talked about Khandaq, when all of the women and children were in that one protected fortress, and some of the Yahud tried to enter in, and they heard the climbing of the man from the outside, and Safiya said to Hassan ibn Thabit, he was the only young man in there, Hassan, go and take care of the man. And we have mentioned many times that Hassan was not of the type to fight. He could not carry a sword. He just did not have that in him. And so he said, I don't have any you know, power to do this. So Safiya was the lady who at that time would have been in her 60s. She put the dagger in her mouth, and she climbed out of the window in the darkness, and she waited for the man to come up, and she surprised the man and sliced his head off, and then threw the head down so that the other people at the bottom thought that the fortress is protected. even though there was no protection because they weren't expecting a treachery at that time. The treachery from Yahud was not being expected at that time. So Safiya was the one who protected the fortress, and her bravery is well known. She died in the 20th year of the Hijrah, and she is buried in Baqi' al-Gharqad. She is buried in Baqi' al-Gharqad. And it is also said that there is a third brother, a third son that she had. We really don't know much about him at all. His name is Abdul Rahman, and he died in the Battle of Yarmouk. That's all we know. So Abdullah ibn Zubayr, Assa ibn Zubayr, and Abdul Rahman ibn Zubayr, these were all three first cousins of the Prophet ﷺ, and all of them were Muslims. All of them were Muslims. So the entire family of Safiya converted to Islam, and she did not have any daughters. So we have done now three of the aunts of the Prophet ﷺ, and inshallah with that I will pause here, because we have to have the special lecture